Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Paul Tonko, tell me about the Ukraine. Ukraine, as we say, we've been taught to say. What's going on over there?
Well, rather fluid situation in Ukraine. And, you know, I think what we hope for here is diplomatic resolve. Our troops are stressed out. They're exhausted from years' worth of fighting into the longest in our history with the involvement with Afghanistan. I believe that we have support here from the European Union and our allies who are willing to express a forcefulness to Russia. And I think Putin is... He's cognizant of the fact that he's got quite a few nations united against what his move is. And it seems as though he's flexing his muscles. It's hard to tell what his next move is.
Well, I think that's the issue, right? The issue is, what's the next move? Because as Governor Cuomo has said from time to time, it is what it is. He's got the Crimea, and that isn't going away. His popularity is soaring in Russia. I was thinking just this morning about how we got Texas. You know, Texas became independent first, and then we grabbed it. And I was looking for the differences, but I couldn't quite find them.
Well, I think, you know, I was happy to hear the president not recognize the vote from Crimea. I think that most nations are understanding that it was done under forcefulness. And Ukraine is a very proud country. You know, I speak to the Ukrainian Americans in the district, and you always sense their love of motherland. There's this tightness there, this resolve to stay free. And I believe we should assist them. I was happy.
How would you assist them?
Well, we had a bipartisan vote. It was a good coming together, a rare situation in Washington these days, in support of aid for Ukraine and assisting them in their help, in the help they need to fight off Putin and his forces. And I believe that if we can give diplomatic resolve a chance here, it's our best outcome for both Ukraine and certainly the American troops who have had their assignments galore in the last couple of decades.
So, okay, so here's the tough one, Paul Tonko.
Right.
What if he says, oh, you know, I like that. I got a lot of credit with my own people. Maybe I'll, you know, go into Moldova next or Estonia. We'll have to fight, won't we?
Well, that or economic sanctions that can be, you know, placed against the Russians. You know, they certainly strategically are located, you know, are in a great position because of their location right next to Ukraine. But I think economically, they could be hurt badly by an international move to, you know, impact them by blockading certain flows of revenues. I think Russia would come to its senses rather quickly. I would
hope. So why didn't we do it now? In other words, why weren't we tougher now?
Right. I think that every effort is made first to have reason rule. And if that doesn't show, if he continues to, you know, penetrate into Ukraine, then, you know, the sanctions effort will be important. And I believe, you know, the beginnings of that now are important. They're showing that we're not going to weaken. And, you know, I think you ramp up the activity and give yourself room so that everything outside of conflict, of military involvement, is achieved without first resorting to military conflict.
Now, Paul Tonko, the president, who I admire for the way he's handled this, has been severely criticized by people like John McCain and others. And one wonders what exactly, I always say to people who say he should have done more, I say, like what? What should he have done?
You know, this president is attacked by, it's just a MO of the Republican Party in Washington right now. Anything he does, they will criticize. And, you know, I think if you take it back an administration and think of the days when President Bush was getting involved with some of the Mideastern nations, you would have been unpatriotic if you said anything about the moves authorized by the president. And, you know, I just think we need to see that for what it is. It's sheer politics.
So what is it about Democrats that on foreign policy, everybody always says they're weak? You know, we only had a President Roosevelt, you may remember, President Truman, people who were...
Absolutely. I think it's stereotypes that they want to throw at a party, and without challenge, they just get tagged onto you, and really, you do need to look at the history. But look at just this administration alone. You know, some of the greatest threats to democracy and peace out there have been impacted... have been ended by this president, you know. So Osama bin Laden, any of the threats to democracy, the ones that were highest priority have been addressed by this administration. And it took a very strong resolve to go out there and do a risky thing and ask our military to get involved. But we have won some of those wars against terrorism, and this administration doesn't have to take a back seat to perhaps some of the strategy that was embraced in the earlier administrations, where I think we went into a war on the wrong reasons and went after the wrong enemy.
Nevertheless, there is always the element of jingoism that comes into all of this. Mm-hmm. We're right, they're wrong, mm-hmm. you know, almost sports events that come out of this. How does this president avoid that?
You know, I think it's very difficult. He has this sense of, you know, looking straight forward toward the goal, not being sidetracked by the sideline criticism. And to his credit, I think that has provided the leadership on the international scene that is has been a winning formula. And, you know, I think the same will be true here with Ukraine. He will be a steady force, reckoning with the forces of Putin, and stay strategically charged onto that goal without getting sidetracked. And I think that's very important, especially when the temperamental nature of all of this could have you zigzagging all over the place rather than just staying with the mission in mind.
The wars that you referenced, Iraq and all the rest, have produced some terrible results. A lot of our
cost trillions of dollars.
Trillions of dollars. Our children, many of our children have been killed. Many are coming back crippled and with all kinds of problems. Are we doing everything we should be?
You know, you always ask if it's enough. I know, having worked with mental health policy, I have pushed very hard with the veterans agencies in Washington to make certain that the mental health package is there for our returning troops, along with the general health care, physical health care. You know, we owe it to our vets to address employment issues, education issues, housing, health care. That's part of the commitment that we cannot deny. Do we do enough? You know, when people start craziness like sequestration, someone gets hurt, including our veterans, our returning military. But to be the counter voice to all of that, I think, is an important thing at this juncture, and we'll continue to do that. I had witnessed a lot of colleagues, contemporary peers, who came back from the Vietnam conflict never having their needs addressed, and we cannot repeat that saga. It's absolutely important for us to be loyal to our troops when they're on the battlefield and when they come back home. They ought not be on a battlefield when they come home looking for a job, looking for health care. It's unacceptable.
Paul Tonko, always wonderful to have you with us. We'll come back the next time. I want to talk to you about immigration, okay?
Great.